Hi, Dr. Randy. My name's Becky. And when I was single, I always attracted men that were angry and elusive, emotionally unavailable, and also very controlling. So I had to fall in love with Jesus and realize who I was to Christ and that He was the lover of my soul. And it took me a while to just say, okay, Lord, what do you think of this person? And every time I asked, God would show me that that wasn't who God wanted me to be with.
You know, one of the things we talk about here at Intentional Living is making decisions. And the very first step in making a decision is to ask the right questions. Ask the right questions. And you did. Becky, you asked the right question. What do you think, God? Is this person in alignment with your desire for my life? And then listen carefully to the answer. Powerful. Hey, Dr. Randy here. This is Intentional Living. We got a really interesting program coming up here in the next 28 minutes. We're going to be talking about 10 reasons not to get married. Now, we're pro-marriage, done God's way, and done in a way that will honor Christ and benefit your family and your spouse, of course. 10 reasons not to get married. And my friend, Dr. Todd Linneman, who's the founder and president of Relational Advantage, really developed these 10 things a number of years ago. And Todd will be here in just a moment. We'll have him join in with our discussion on this question. But the question for you is, do you have a question about getting married, or maybe someone that you know thinking about getting married and, you know, your heart just doesn't have peace on it? You're welcome to join us with those questions or comments live on our comment line today at 888-888-1717. We already have some great callers lined up from our archives for the show today, but we welcome you to our comment line at 888-888-1717. 10 reasons not to get married. I think that's a good reason to keep listening. Maybe you have a son or daughter or someone you know who's thinking about getting married. I think they could really benefit from today's show. All right. Dr. Todd Linneman, as I mentioned, is joining me here in the studio. Todd and I have been friends for a long time, and Todd is a psychologist and a consultant and does a lot of great work. And so we're glad that you could be with us today. So how are you doing, my friend?
I am doing well. Thank you, Randy.
We want to jump in on this topic. Let me place one of the callers that we've received, and I think Diane sort of sets up her question, sets up what we want to talk about here today and see if we can sort it out. So, by the way, if you want to join us, maybe you have a question for us about getting married, or you have a question about marriage in general or some things that you would like to think about now at this point, give us a call, 888-888-1717. But first, let's listen to Diane. She left this comment from Arizona.
I'm 56 years old, and I'm just about ready to start dating again. My marriage lasted only 5 years after 2 years of engagement. We were separated for 5 years before we divorced. It was my idea to separate because of some heavy drinking and abusive situations, and he refused to deal with the issues, and I waited 5 years. It was his idea to divorce. He sent me a letter of divorce, and I signed it. And it's been 4 years now. I haven't dated yet, and I want to understand what intentional dating is and how to do that.
Yeah, I think that's really the question, Todd. When you think about it, the stats are not all that encouraging. About 40% of first marriages end in divorce. And even with sort of evangelical Bible-believing Christians, it's still like 20% or so.
That's right.
And you wouldn't go out and buy a car that had a 20% chance of breaking down the first 5 years. But, you know, how do we approach this? People are listening and thinking about marriage, or they have their kids thinking about marriage. Where do you get started in this process?
Well, it's critically important to get started with your eyes wide open. The big challenge with that, though, is when we first meet somebody, we don't engage our logic and reason as much as we do our emotion. Mm-hmm. In fact, the first 6 to 9 months of a relationship, a person is literally on what we call a dopamine high. And it's analogous to the high that people might have when they're on cocaine. So when our emotions rule, we kind of get locked out mm-hmm. of logic and reason. And that's one of the reasons why we don't want to get married quickly, because we want that dopamine to diminish, to subside, so we can begin looking at things from not from a subjective view, but an objective view. So we need to give it time so that we're not controlled by our emotions. That's one of the most important things to keep in mind.
And you know, sometimes you have friends or family who see things. Maybe they even said things, and you kind of blow them off because of the dopamine, right?
I mean, you're right.
Thinking, hey, you don't know, God's in this. And as Christians, we can kind of layer it over with spirituality. Oh, he's a Christian, she's a Christian. This is going to be great and wonderful. But later on, not necessarily so.
That's right.
And we hear that in some other callers we're going to get to today. So time is one thing you're saying is important.
Absolutely. You want to give it time so you get to know this person more objectively. Mm-hmm. You also want to make sure that you do listen to the input of the people that love you most. Like you mentioned, it's easy to say, oh, you don't know her or him like I do. So we really need to listen to them. And if we're not getting support from friends and family, that's a red flag, no doubt about that.
All right. You're welcome to join us on this discussion. We're talking marriage today and reasons not to get married. I'll give you some of my list. I know you brought a list too, Todd, and have you comment on some of my list here I put together a number of years ago. 10 reasons, our intentionals, of reasons not to get married. You're welcome to join us, though, online by call or on the air by calling 888-888-1717. Number one on my list was don't get married if you are unwilling to put the needs of another person above your own.
That's right. And I would also say that if you are with somebody and you suspect that they're not willing to put your needs above their own, that would be an accurate, piece of wisdom to give to somebody. But yeah. A successful marriage is all about being willing to put the needs of your partner above your own. You see, if both people do that, and that's the way God designed it, no one will have a need go unmet. Mm-hmm. But we don't trust that. We don't put our faith in that. But yes, if you're not willing to sacrifice yourself, your own needs, for the love of your spouse, for the needs of your spouse or partner, not a good time to marry.
You know, I share the fact that you shouldn't get married if you're not mature. Mature people should marry. Of course, not everybody is mature, but the reality is the more mature we are, the better off. Number two on my list of the top 10 reasons not to get married, comment on if you're a person or the person you're marrying, easily offended, carries grudges, and unwilling to forgive.
Those qualities will undermine communication, conflict resolution, and emotional attachment every time. This kind of individual, we refer to them as more emotionally driven, mm-hmm. oftentimes, again, subjective in their thinking. They can't take on the other person's point of view. So yes, if these are areas that have been pointed out to you and you've got that self-awareness, those need to be addressed before you make that big commitment.
All right, let's listen to some comments coming in on our comment line. And you're welcome to call live, put you on the air here. Maybe you have a question. Maybe you just say, hey, you know, I wish I'd known this before. By the way, we're not intending at the end of this program to say, now I got reasons to get out of this marriage. That's not the point. The point is, if you are married, these are some things to work on, right? And if you're not married, it's some red flags to say, hey, maybe I shouldn't do this. So we want to make it a helpful program. So you're welcome to join in, 888-888-1717. Ashley from Wisconsin had a comment.
I was with somebody for about a decade off and on, and it was one of those things that I'd prayed for a really long time for us to actually be in like a committed relationship, and we just had our ups and downs. And once I finally had my prayers answered, I realized that this person that I had become best friends with and had spent a decade of my life with wasn't really this godly Christian man that I thought he was. And I just decided to I had to like cut off contact with him completely. And I wound up moving to another state about 13 hours away from my home in Arkansas. And for the first time, I can say that I actually am enjoying this season of singleness. And instead of trying to look for the next season, I'm just enjoying, you know, I've never been as close to God as I have been here. I've joined the church and I'm involved in the Big Brothers Big Sisters program. One thing about being married is I always, you know, wanted a child. And I think that by me having a little 8-year-old boy in my life, that's kind of God's way of saying that, you know, not right now, but this is what, you know, I can do for you. And that's just been so great. And I've actually introduced him to church. He's never gone before and he likes church and he likes to pray and, you know, just really inspiring. And I'm just completely happy with my life. And I realize I don't need somebody else to make me feel happy. All I need is God.
Hey, listen, Ashley, great attitude. You've been able to put that into a healthy perspective. Todd, as people are dating, I mean, generally, as you say, the first, what, 6 to 9 months, we're not really who we really are.
That's right.
And I'm not sure that necessarily people just intentionally say, I want to fool this person, but they may actually believe these things. In other words, they're in a pursuit mode. They're in a relationship building mode. And you're always going to put your best foot forward, your best face forward, your best attitude. And if it's a Christian person, you might put your best Christianity forward when it really isn't coming from your heart. And so what does a person do? I mean, they're dating, and later this bait and switch thing kind of comes up.
Well, it's very natural when we start a new relationship to wear a mask. And that basically means that we're not disclosing completely. And that's perfectly normal. But over time, we need to practice self-disclosure. Take the masks off and say, what you see is what you get. That's the only way we can really make an informed decision. But it's motivated by a lot of things. The fear of being single for your entire life. The fear of, you know, social rejection. The fear of loneliness and unhappiness. So it's amazing what the mind is willing to do in order to rationalize or justify an objective bad decision.
Yeah.
Or a decision that's bad objectively. And so that's how powerful that emotion is, and that drive to want to be connected, to want to have a secure attachment with another human being.
All right. I know you have a list we want to get to in a moment, some reasons not to get married. Hopefully you'll put a positive spin on it here, listener, because in terms of being married, these can be instructional in terms of things to work on. We're going to continue the discussion. You're welcome to come on in and be a part of it. 888-888-1717, live from our Intentional Living studio. Dr. Todd Linneman is here with me today. We're talking about marriage.
My one thing is to change my thinking, change my negative thoughts to positive thoughts, because I've realized that my thought pattern is very negative.
Yvette's intentional one thing is changing her outlook on life.
I was very unhappy. Financial things would make me unhappy. I'm a single mom. I'm divorced for over 12 years now. And I do desire to have a spouse. And so sometimes I get lonely, and all of that would make me get unhappy. I happened to hear Dr. Randy Carlson talk about intentional living. And that's what inspired me to say, you know what, I can do this. I can change my thinking. So it's a daily process I'm winning. I find it's easier now that I'm paying attention, and it's easy to change my outlook, and I'm much happier, more filled with joy because of that.
One thing you can do to lift your emotional outlook is to set your mind on things that are positive instead of negative. Take the Intentional One Thing Challenge and discover the one thing you can do to begin living intentionally. Visit theintentionallife.com/one thing.
Today we're talking about intentional living in terms of getting married, or if you are married, things to watch out for before you get married. I call it the due diligence period, right? And Dr. Todd Linneman is here. We're live, as you now know, in the studio with me. Dr. Linneman is president and founder of Relational Advantage, is a licensed psychologist, executive coach, and a good friend, and keeping really busy with what he does every day, helping families. And Todd, I know you brought along a list of some things you have seen over the years in your practice, to people to watch out for before they get married. We're talking to people before they say, I do. What are some things they should be watching out for?
Well, there's a number of things, Randy. And let me just say that I, like you, have worked with many, many people, both before and after marriage, who have expressed regret. And if they had it over to do it over again, they would do things differently. Some people have recognized that their motivation to get married is to really be a parent, to have children, not so much to be a partner. Some people want a mother or father for their child. Perhaps they've been married before, they have a child without a parent, and that's their motivation. Sometimes people want to get married even though they have high conflict in their relationship. They can't resolve conflict. They find themselves or their partner being defensive and critical and giving the silent treatment. Those are all warning signs that says, before you say I do, say basically, can we get past these things?
In other words, things don't get better after you get married. Whatever is a yellow flag when you're dating is going to be a red flag after.
Well said. Yeah. Absolutely. Things generally only get worse.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter. Mean, rather, that they can't be improved upon. They can't be overcome with maturity, etc. But generally, no, it's a fallacy to think, oh, things are going to get better. And that's what a lot of people say.
Yeah.
You know, he struggles with addiction, or she struggles with this bad habit. And once we get married, somehow it's going to miraculously resolve itself.
Mm-hmm.
It only gets worse more often than not.
Yeah, and listen, we've been doing this a long time, Todd, in helping families and things, and we both are solid in our faith. We love the Lord. We believe the Bible to be true. But we got some listeners today who are saying, but you don't understand. I got this guy, and I'm getting him to church, and he's going to get saved. He's more interested than ever, and you know, now he's at church, and he's made, quote, a profession of faith, and I think we're on the right path, and it's going to be great. You know, that was 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like you said at the beginning, time only tells. You know, is this real? Is this genuine? What's really changed? What does a person do at that point if they say, "Hey, I see some positive things going on, Todd. I think they're heading in the right direction." What would you recommend?
Well, for the believer, Randy, who's saying that, you know, that information or sharing that information, my counsel to them would be, that's fantastic, that's wonderful, continue to pray for them. But quite frankly, unless you know, and there's fruit to bear this information out, that they're a believer, that they love Christ, mm-hmm. that they love God, do not marry. That's one of the number one regrets I hear when I talk to people who have married an unbeliever.
Mm. All right. Chris from Texas has a question. Welcome to the program, Chris. How can we help you today?
I'm about to get married next month. I'm a single dad. I raised my two daughters, and I'm about to get married to a woman that has three children. They're all young. They're ages from 4, and the oldest is 11. And, you know, we both really try to live a Christ-centered life, but we're having trouble finding any information on, you know, what we should be doing as far as blending the family seamlessly, you know, in Christ. We both feel at peace about everything, but we just can't really find a lot of information.
Hmm. Coming into a blended family, there's been a lot discussed on that. We know it's a challenge, and what I typically hear is, I didn't know until after I got married some of the things that I thought it was going to be easier than it turned out to be. But they're getting started in a new blended family. What are some things, Todd, you've worked with blended families that Chris and his new wife can be doing to help make it smoother into this blending process?
Absolutely. Be real honest, first and foremost, about expectations. Specifically talk about parenting philosophy, discipline as it relates to parenting, who's going to discipline and what form of discipline will take place, what are the rules. You know, I often tell people that, you know, you've got to work hard to blend them in before you run the risk of mixing them up. Because mm-hmm. if you don't do that groundwork ahead of time, you're bound to, you know, hit some pretty difficult waves in the ocean. So I think having open, honest, and direct communication, and if you can lower those expectations or just know what the expectations are, modify as necessary, that will go a long way.
I guess I'd ask you, listener, what do you wish you had known before you got married, that you'd pass on to someone else who's listening in a positive way? Maybe you're hurting. Maybe it was a marriage didn't work out. You wish you had known or done in a different way. I'd love to have you come and join in the discussion at 888-888-1717. My friend Dr. Todd Lindemann is here, and we're talking about reasons not to get married and hopefully reasons for you to stay married intentionally. And we'll be right back. Here's how the Bible can change your life. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. It happens every time we read it, we believe it, and we live it. It says in Psalms 119:105, that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I mean, that's a very vivid picture of the power of Scripture to guide our lives. Because the Bible is more than a book of philosophy or of ancient history. It's God's word, His intention, His guidebook for us to live by. If we're not reading it, we're missing a lot in our lives every day. So take on a 30-day challenge, maybe starting today, and for the next 30 days to open Scripture every day, to pray, to read, and trust God. That's intentional living.
To get our daily video, sign up at theintentionallife.com/minute.
In this first decade of life, it's basically you and me with our family. We're relating to the family that we've been dropped into, that God chose us to be dropped into for whatever reason. And there we are. And the big issue we see, the big challenge that we face in this first decade of life is, can I trust these people? Now, we're not thinking that when we're 5 years old, but we're experiencing it. That's an excerpt from the teaching this month on the decades of life, and I produced this and wrote this and recorded it because I started to realize that, you know, every decade has its unique challenges. The challenges of the 20s are different than the 40s, and the 40s are different than the 60s, and yet there are threads that kind of make, no matter how different each of us may be individually, there's sort of threads that pull each of these decades together. And so I recorded this not only for us as adults, but to share this with our young people, with our teenagers and our young adults. What an opportunity to talk about the importance of being intentional and about living intentionally in Christ. And that's why I put this together for you. So members, watch for it. Well, by now you've already received it. New members, watch for it as you join us. And right now, with only hours left, literally hours left in this fiscal year, I just want to extend a thank you to those of you that have helped us get this far this year. But just send out an urgent appeal. If you're a current member, if you could share an additional 13th month in the next day, that would be helpful. Those of you maybe to share a single gift to help us close out the year. We've been behind where we need to be, and I need your help. And I just boldly will ask for you to do what you can in for God's glory and to reach other people. Simply go to theintentionallife.com and click on donate, and your best gift will be appreciated. Theintentionallife.com, and thank you for your support.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Todd, people are thinking about getting married and thinking of some of the issues to watch out for. And one of the things on my top 10 list was, hey, listen, don't get married, and certainly don't marry if you are an abusive person, or the person you're thinking about marrying is an abusive person, mentally, emotionally, and physically. Because if they are before you get married, they'll be more so after you get married.
That's right. And a lot of times people, again, rationalize and say, you know, they will change after we get married. We'll have less stress after we get married. And that's just not the case. Usually people, whatever they're struggling with prior to marriage that might motivate or influence any kind of abuse is likely to show up in spades after the wedding.
You know, I wrote down here, too, an unwillingness to commit. Some people just can't commit.
That's right.
You know, they intend to, or they get married, but they're not, they don't have that commitment part of their personality or who they are. How do you do this in terms of dating? How do you engage other people or assessment? Premarital counseling, we've both done it.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Very positive.
Absolutely.
But sometimes they're starstruck at that point, mm-hmm. you know. What are some practical things someone who says, hey, I want to do this right, do it God's way, that they can enlist the support of others to help them in this process?
Well, I think that's just it, enlisting others to support them in the process. Ask tough questions. What do you observe about my partner here? What do you think their strengths are? What do you think their weaknesses are? I want to have an objective point of view. Obviously, praying about it and asking God to reveal to you what really motivates you to get married. Because again, there are so many things that drive us to get married that don't have a lot to do with our partner, quite frankly. And after the marriage, you know, we realize that, boy, those motivations are gone, and now I'm with this partner. And so I think asking those questions, taking assessments, needs assessment, temperament assessments, like the Prepare and Enrich, for example, that allows you to see what your partner thinks about important issues like communication, finances, parenting, the sexual relationship. The more awareness you have, the more informed you are, the more you can trust your decision making.
Yeah, and people over the years have told us, man, in fact, we got one of the comments. We're going to record another program when we're done here, and one of the comments is from a woman who basically says, I can't trust myself. I've been through 3 marriages, and I keep picking losers, and so I've just given up. I'm going to stay single and trust God, and I'm happier than ever, and that's good, good for her. But what do you have to know about yourself in this process of making the decision on this is a person that I should be involved with or not?
Well, it's critically important that you have self-awareness. And the better your self-awareness, the better you can trust your other awareness. And when you can, you know, be objective with regard to what you see, strengths, weaknesses in your partner, that just allows you to be more trusting. When you also have confidence in yourself, and you can't have confidence unless you're self-aware. So it's very, very important to be able to point out the weaknesses in yourself and focus on what you want to shore up so that you can trust your judgment and ultimately your decision making.
Yeah, it's a big decision.
It is.
This is a bigger decision than where am I having lunch today, right? Yeah, it's a lifetime thing.
Yes, Dr. Randy. My name is Gerald. I'm calling from St. Louis. My intentional thing that I'm trying to do is to get out of my way and my wife's way, because it's not my call. It's got to be the Lord's call.
You know, that's a difficult thing to do, my friend, but God bless you. Taking that mindset that says, hey, God, are you in this? What's going on here? What would you have me do? It's the very first step of intentional living. Ask the right question. Listen carefully and allow God to really reveal the truth to your heart before you take any action. Because as we teach, once you start taking positions in marriage, as we've heard today, what happens is we end up having to defend them. And that creates a problem. You know, today we've been talking about reasons not to get married. Love to talk about the reasons to get married. I'd love to hear your thoughts on our comment line at 888-888-1717. And I would say this, if you're willing to make a one-thing commitment for 30 days for your marriage, or 30 days to pray before you get married, I'll send you the one-thing wristband as a way of saying, hey, we're with you. Just go to theintentionallife.com/WB. And again, with just a few hours left to the end of the fiscal year, June 30, for Intentional Living, we're listener-supported. We rely upon your gifts and your support. That's the only way we can do this. We've got a ways to go in these next several hours. I'm just trusting God that He'll move on your heart and the hearts of our members who could share an additional love gift to help us close out the year, maybe a 13th month if you support monthly, or maybe that one-time single gift. That would be so generous. We appreciate it. Would you do that? I just boldly and humbly ask and say thank you in advance. The best way to do it, easiest way, is just do it online. Go to theintentionallife.com and it'll be registered right away, and we'll be watching for it. Watching for it. Thank you. Theintentionallife.com. Have a great day. We'll see you next time right here from Intentional Living.